Are you putting too much emphasis on new technology instead of the people that make it happen? Stop reacting to change and start leading transformation. Visit BoozAllen.com/Federal News Radio.
A federal district judge issued a long-awaited decision, late Friday night, of course, on federal unions' legal challenges to the president's executive orders on official time, collective bargaining, and employee removals. That decision is a win for the unions. The judge declared 9 key provisions of the 3 EOs invalid and told agencies to begin revoking them. Federal News Radio's Nicola Grisco joins me now to break down the decision and what it all means. Nicole, let's start with those 9 provisions that were struck down essentially by the judge. And the judge was?
Well, it was Judge Kajani Jackson. And she wrote an over 115-page opinion that came out, like you mentioned, late Friday night. So I think unions and the administration have been sorting through those pages over the weekend, essentially.
It may or may not be relevant that she was appointed by President Obama to the United States District Court for the District of Columbia. But with respect to the decision Friday, tell us about that.
Yeah, so in looking at the court decision, the judge mentions that the union's arguments actually touched on 27 different provisions in all 3 executive orders. The judge invalidated 9 of them, and the 9 that she invalidated really touched to some of the more impactful, replications of the executive orders that we've been hearing about from some of the unions over the past couple months. So the 9 are the imposition of a 25% cap on the use of official time, the prohibition against employees' right to petition and communicate with Congress, the ban on the use of official time by union reps to prepare and present grievances, the 1 hour per bargaining unit employee formula. That one was very confusing when it first came out in the executive order and is still confusing some agencies and unions. The limitations placed on unions' use of agency facilities like office space and computers, that was a controversial one. The exclusion of challenges to performance ratings and incentive pay. The limitation of performance improvement periods to 30 days. The direction to agencies to press for the exclusion of removals from the scope of the grievance process. And then finally, the prohibition against bargaining over permissive subjects. So I think the big ones here are the 25% cap on official time, the use of agency office space and property, and then also the bit about being able to grieve an employee removal. Those are the 3 of the 9 that unions are particularly happy that they've essentially been overturned. And many of these provisions, I think, really caused some confusion as some agencies were implementing pieces of these executive orders.
Yes, I was going to say at the Social Security Administration, the AFGE unit there, the big national bargaining unit, had its offices packed. They were worried about getting the records out on time.
Yeah, and the Housing and Urban Development Department as well, they had also been given notice to leave the building. Other agencies were a little slower to respond to that. We never ultimately heard anything about whether or not the Veterans Affairs Department, for example, would ask its union representatives to leave. So the lack of consistency about how some of these executive orders, that was definitely an issue over the past couple months here.
And Nicole, you have been following this case, this whole issue, from the very beginning. What do you find particularly telling about this judge's decision?
What I find most interesting about this are her comments on some of the arguments that the unions and the administration tried to present in oral arguments. She essentially says that the executive orders by themselves are not unlawful. She says that the president can issue executive orders on this topic if they don't conflict with the intention and the language in the Federal Labor Management Relations Statute. And that, I think, is the crux of the argument here, is she said that in this case, these 9 provisions did conflict with that original labor management statute. And that is the issue here. She does not say that, the president, for example, couldn't issue more executive orders on this topic. He could try again. This decision does not say that, he wouldn't have executive authority to do that. So that's a really interesting piece here. And, also the fact that by themselves, the orders are not unlawful.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Nicola Grisco. So that means then the administration could appeal. I guess it's too early to tell whether they have said they will or not, correct?
It is too early to tell whether or not the administration will appeal. You know, I've heard, I think, just in conversations with, you know, others as these executive orders have been playing out over the past couple months, that that is maybe the expectation that the administration will appeal. One of their arguments was that these this lawsuit from the unions was filed in an incorrect court. They say that it should have gone to the Court of Appeals, so we'll see what happens after this. But yeah, it's definitely possible that the administration could appeal.
And what about agencies? They're kind of caught in between here. They are under orders from the administration. They've already gotten some of them, as you pointed out, implemented a little bit. Now they've got to, I guess, pause in their tracks without any specific orders, say this morning, from anybody.
Yeah, I think this is going to be the trickiest part of this whole situation. And I know it's something that we're going to be tracking pretty closely in the future here, is how exactly agencies will implement, you know, the pieces of this decision. Will they receive guidance from the Office of Personnel Management about how they should go about doing this? I would say that is what would most likely happen, is that OPM would issue some sort of guidance. On the other hand, if the administration plans to appeal, they may not issue guidance. So this could be another chaotic, you know, situation where we have agencies essentially looking at this on their own and trying to figure out what they should do. I could also see a scenario where they are slow to implement, you know, revoking some pieces of these executive orders. At the same time, I think we did hear about agencies who were slow to implement the executive orders to begin with, out of, you know, questioning over what would happen with this very court decision. So this is going to be, I think, the trickiest part of this whole thing, and it's something we're definitely going to pay attention to.
And the unions today, what's the likely course for them today? I guess maybe wait and see?
It's going to be wait and see, and I think they will definitely monitor exactly how, you know, will they be asked to re-enter the building, for example, in the case of the Social Security Administration and Housing and Urban Development Department. Will they, you know, physically limit or, you know, physically pull back the 25% limit that they had placed on official time at some agencies? They're going to be looking at implementation. In the meanwhile, though, unions were very quick to say this is a victory, this is a win for them. And, you know, I think it's pretty fair to say that that's true. The judge struck down 9 of these big kind of key provisions in the executive orders, the biggest pieces of them that have the most impact. So I would say, you know, they do have something to be happy about.
So in striking them down, then, that means the judge did not have to issue a stay. Striking them down ends them effectively for now.
That's correct. And in her opinion, she did essentially say that the administration and agencies themselves should begin to, you know, revoke them. Again, I would say OPM would be the likely entity to provide more guidance and detail on how this should be done.